Let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The 9th chapter of the 1 Corinthians. I want to use this passage tonight to take us deeper into the mindset of a champion. The attitude of a champion. Let's begin reading in verse 19. But though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I may gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I may gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Let's pray tonight. Lord, thank you for this precious time that you've given us. We come with the full understanding, Lord, that one day we will give an account as to what we did with this hour in our lives. So help us to maximize the moment, to hear from you, Lord, and to live out what you teach us tonight in our daily lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, we talked about how to be a champion in chaotic times. And I guess out of all that I tried to tell you this morning, I can just boil it down to this. Is that we're living in chaotic times. We're living in times of great evil. We're living in times of great trouble. We're living in a time when society is falling apart. Families are being destroyed. Lives are turned upside down. And there is no solution the world can give. It must come from above. But like Noah, in spite of the fact that we're living in chaotic and troubled times and confusing times and corrupt times, God has given you and I the grace to become champions of the faith. Tonight, I want to spend just a few moments preaching on this subject. The attitude of a champion. The attitude of a champion. When it comes to being a champion, when it comes to being a real lifelong winner, folks, there are a lot of things that we have to have from God. But one thing God has to have from us and that is the right attitude. It has been said that attitude determines altitude. Your attitude, in other words, will determine the levels of your life. The right attitude can take you higher than you could ever imagine. The wrong attitude can take you lower than you ever want to go. There are people that have great abilities, life full of God-given resources, opportunities all around them. But because they don't have the right attitude, they miss being the best they can for the Lord. There are churches. There are churches who is financially blessed, who is people blessed, that is, they are blessed with many people, that they're blessed with intelligent people, that they are blessed with people all around them that need what they have. But because the church don't have a champion's attitude, it never becomes all that it could be. And so tonight, I want to give you six things, six little principles, six little truths about the attitude of a champion. Some is found here. A few of them are found other places, so you're going to have to work with me tonight. But I want us to see the attitude of a champion. I want us to see what the attitude of a champion is. And if there's one thing that we know about the Apostle Paul had the attitude of a champion. Here's number one. You want to write them down? I want to give them to you, and I'm going to try to count correctly tonight. I think my family is convinced that after I get past three, I don't know what comes next. Here's number one. Listen, I want to give them to you, and then I'm going to give you a verse that will line up beside the statement. A champion gives himself fully and totally to his life purpose. A champion, listen, a champion gives himself totally and fully to his life purpose. I want you to look with me in verse 19, what the Apostle Paul says. He said, "For though I be free from all means, yet have I made myself servant unto all." Now here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, because I understand the God-given purpose in my life, and that is to bring as many souls as I can to the saving knowledge and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am free from all means, yet I have made myself a servant to everybody. Oh, that's powerful, y'all. He said, I have made myself a servant unto all, that I might win the more. Look, skip down with me to verse 22. He said, to the weak became I as weak, that I may gain the weak. And then he makes this statement. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This is a man who had given his whole self completely and totally to his life purpose. A champion is one, listen to me, he is one who will make the sacrifice that need to be made, who will go through the storms that need to be went through. Listen, he will face the trouble that need to be faced because, listen, he is totally given over to the purpose of his life. The church, listen to me, the church or Christians, Maddie, we will never become real champions for the Lord until we sell out, wholeheartedly sell out to the purpose for which we have been saved. That is to bring souls to Jesus and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. That's number one. Here's the second thing. And I like this one because I believe it's true, Terry, about every real champion. A champion is passionate about victory. Listen, a champion is not interested in a tie. A champion is not interested in a loss. He don't want to talk to you about losing. He don't want to share the crown with you. Listen, a champion is serious about winning. I want you to notice something in this text tonight. In verse 19, in the King James Version, Paul uses the word gain. Look at the last part of verse 19. He said that I might gain the more. In verse 20, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. In the last part of verse 20, that I might gain them that's under the law. In verse 21, the last part of verse 21, that I may gain them that are without law. And then in verse 22, he says that I might by all means, that is, whatever is necessary, I might save some. You know what the word gain mean? In some Bibles, I'm sure tonight you can, listen, in some of y'all Bible, that word is translated win. A champion, listen, the attitude of a champion is all about winning. Listen, in fact, he won't get involved with it if he don't feel like he can win. You see, that's another thing about a champion. A champion, whatever he enters in, he don't enter in it just to be in it. Amen. Yeah, listen, let me tell you the problem with some of us. The reason why we come to worship and we leave the same way we came is because we didn't come expecting nothing. We didn't come with expectation. We didn't come with a desire that I'm going to fight the devil and I'm going to fight sleep and I'm going to fight distractions because I want to win. I want to get. I want to lay hold on everything that God wants to give me in the little time that I'm here. Let me tell you something about I've learned about church. Brian, I've been around church for 30 years or more. Distractions will be there. If you easily distracted, you won't never get nothing out of church. Amen. That's why, don't bother me when the children cry. Amen. Now, let me tell you, I wish they wouldn't. But for 30 years, I've known some great pastors that tried to keep it from happening. They didn't do it. I don't get bent out of shape when adults who ought to know better will do no better. I don't like it. But I understand, listen to me, I understand that just like the Holy Spirit is working in this place tonight, there is another spirit that's busy as well. Amen. There are three people to come to church with you. Three, listen, there are three, there's three, that, listen, you only see one in the car, but there are two others. The spirit comes and the devil comes. He have to have a ride. So listen what Paul says here. He says that I might win. That I might win. Whenever we get together and go to the association building to shoot basketball, and we divide up in teams, I never told y'all this, Miss Charlotte. But I always try to choose the folk that I believe will help me win. If you are not interested in winning, I don't want you on my team. And some know-it-all will always say, well, we just playing for fun. Well, let me tell you, winning is fun. Listen to me. Listen. The church has become too satisfied with just competing. When I was in school, one of my favorite coaches was Coach Parr. I love Coach Parr. Coach Parr's gone now, but I love Coach Parr. But one of the things I didn't like about Coach Parr is that in track season, Coach Parr would just sign you up for something. So he could say we got somebody in the race. Amen. Listen. If this church is going to be a champion, we can't just sign up and not show up. Amen. Listen, we can talk about evangelism, and we can talk about feeding the hungry, and we can talk about what our vision is and what our mission is. But until we put some action to what we talk about, nothing is going to happen. Let me tell you something about a champion. A champion is interested in one thing, and that's victory. Let me tell you, David was a champion. And when David went out to fight Goliath, I'm telling you, David was not interested in no tie. David was interested in victory. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, listen, I want you to catch verse 22. He said, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Second point. Y'all got two, right? Okay. I'll make sure I'm counting right. A champion is passionate about winning. He's passionate about winning. They asked the teammates of both Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, what did they believe made these men such extraordinary basketball players? And the teammates of both of those men said that they hate to lose. The church is losing battles that we ought to be winning, and the bad thing is that we're satisfied with the loss. We're losing in our marriages. We're losing in our ministries. Listen, we're losing a battle in this world that God said we ought to be winning. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus told Peter, he said, listen, I declare that you're Peter, And upon this rock I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it. Let me tell you that the word prevail there is not a defensive word. Jesus was not saying to the church that the world or hell is going to attack you, but they won't be able to do nothing against you. What he was really saying is that when you get right with God and when you understand who you are and you're called to be a champion, there is nothing that hell will be able to do to keep Solid Rock from advancing the name of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, folks, that's good preaching there. To be honest, the church is waiting for hell to attack us. We're in the defense mode when we ought to be in the offensive mode. That's another thing about a champion. You don't have to bring the fight to the champion. The champion will bring the fight to you. In Mike Tyson's heyday, all of us remember Mike Tyson, don't we? In Mike Tyson's heyday, when Mike Tyson come out the dressing room, he was looking for a chance to knock you out. Amen. Mike didn't play his game unless soften him up. Mike played the game unless knock him out. And that's the attitude of the church. Listen, and because we don't have that champion attitude the way that we ought to, listen, the devil does things against us and in our lives, and we put up with it for years when we should have got rid of it when it first started. Here's the third thing. Number one, listen, a champion gives himself fully to his life purpose. Number two, a champion is passionate about winning. Amen. He's passionate about winning. Here's the third thing. I'm going to give you the thought, and we'll turn to the verse. A champion has the attitude of endurance even when times get hard. A champion has the attitude of endurance even when times get hard. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2. Now, folks, listen. Whenever you set your sights on being a champion, the devil will come against you. Amen. I was watching, right before I left home, I was watching the NFC playoff. Seattle, who is, if I'm not mistaken, out of defending world champions in football. Green Bay was who they were playing. And in the first half, Green Bay jumped out on them to a 19-0 lead. If you looked at it, you would think that there was no way that Seattle would have a chance of winning that game. Don't you thank God for the second half? Because in the second half, Seattle come back and won that ball game. When Seattle went into the dressing room, Terry, it looked like from all indication that the game was over. But let me tell you something that Seattle got that most teams in the NFL don't have. They have a never quit attitude, even when times get tough. The Apostle Paul had that kind of attitude. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse, let's just start in verse number 1. Paul said, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then watch verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul tells Timothy, listen, endure hardness. One of the attitudes of a champion is that he don't quit when the going gets tough. He have an attitude of endurance. He have an attitude, listen, he have an attitude that I'm going to stay in this thing either till something changes or until God calls me home. Paul says to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When you got an attitude to be a champion, listen, the devil will test you. The devil will try you. I'm telling you, listen to me, listen. When you get on your knees and say, Lord, 2015, I want it to be the year that I make the greatest difference for you. I want it to be the year when I impact people around me for your glory. Lord, I don't want to be a chump. I want to be a champion for you. I'm telling you, the devil hears it. And he'll try it. He'll test it. And he'll bring some difficulty in your life. He'll bring some hardship in your life. But Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Here's the fourth thing. A champion. Listen, a champion is single-minded in his pursuits. He's single-minded in his pursuits. Listen what Paul says to Timothy in verse number 4. He said, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. You and I never be champions for the Lord. As long as we're trying to walk with the world and walk with Christ at the same time. Amen. Paul said, a champion. A good soldier, he does not entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Here's why. That he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. I'm going to tell you, God chose you. God, listen, God chose you. When you got saved, God chose you. You got saved not because so much you chose him, but because he chose you first. God equipped you with everything that you need to be successful, everything that you need to be victorious. God chose you. God has given you the opportunity to serve right along beside him in this great spiritual conflict. And Paul cautions Timothy, and I want to caution us tonight as a church and as individuals. You cannot be powerful in Christ and popular in the world. Cannot do it. You just can't do it. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I just know it don't work. You cannot hang out at the club all night Friday and all night Saturday and come and experience the anointing on Sunday. It just don't work. That's why Joshua would tell the people of his day, choose you this day who you gonna serve. Champion is single-minded in his pursuits. He's single-minded in his pursuits. He's on the trail of something that he wants to lay hold of, and he's not easily distracted from his goals. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. That's what the Spirit is telling us tonight. That's what the Spirit is saying to Anthony Bledsoe. You got to be single-minded. You got to live with purpose. You got to, listen, you got to pursue your life purpose. You got to stay on track. You got to stay on course. You can't get tangled up. You can't get involved. You got to live out your purpose. You got to pursue your purpose. Here's number five. I give you the statement, and then we'll turn to the verse. A champion will not be hindered by the past. Listen to me. A champion, a real champion, will not let the past hinder him in the present, nor stop him from pursuing his future. The reason why, listen to me, the reason why some of us can't come up no higher than what we are is because we can't get past what happened yesterday. Amen. Did you know that God will use your past to teach you? Yes. The devil will use your past to trap you. Amen. Amen. A champion, listen, a champion is quick. He's quick to forget the victories of yesterday. He won't live in past victories. That's right. Amen. You see, the problem with some of us, the reason why we're not winning the battles that we ought to be winning right now is because we still glorying over the battles that we won last year. Amen. We're always talking about what I used to do. I used to be a Sunday school teacher. I used to help in the choir. Thank God for what you used to do. But give God glory for what you're going to do now. Listen to me. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Oh, this whole thing is good. I mean, the whole chapter is good. But I want you to catch what Paul says in verse 13. Well, let's go back up to verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. Because I want to give you one more. It's going to be seven rather than six. I got to give you this one. I mean, the Lord is just saying, give this to them. Look at verse 12. Listen, watch what Paul says. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now, I want you to stop right there for just a minute. Because one of the things that's true about a real champion is that he will be honest with himself about his present condition. Listen what Paul said. Did y'all see that? Listen what Paul said. He said, this is the great apostle Paul. This is the man, listen, that wrote much of the New Testament. This is the man who established many of the churches in the New Testament. And yet Paul looks at himself and he said, folks, I got to be honest about something. I have not arrived yet. You see, listen to me. A champion is not one who thinks he's a champion. A champion is one who has done what it takes and won the battles to prove that he's a champion. Oh, y'all, that's good preaching. Oh, Lord, that's good preaching. Listen, a champion will be honest about his present condition. Let me tell you what a real champion won't do, Miss Kathy. He will not lie to himself about areas of weakness, pretending that he's strong there. In fact, a champion don't really focus on his strengths. He focuses more attention on his weaknesses. You know why? Because a real champion knows that sooner or later, the enemy is going to discover where his weakness is. And if he had not prepared himself, he will lose because he didn't take care of the weakness. Amen. That's one. You can count that for whatever you want. I want you to look at verse 13. We got one more. After this one, we'll be finished. Watch what Paul says. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I want you to underline, forgetting those things which are behind. Listen to me. There are some things you just got to forget. There are some things that's in the past and you need to leave them there. And there are a lot of people who ought to be winning great battles and becoming a mighty warrior and a champion for the Lord. But because they can't get past what happened last year, they're stuck. I tell you something else. Listen, won't charge you for this. This is just extra. Not only do you need to get past your past, but you need to let other folk get past their past. Amen. 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 Let me tell you, I'm not your friend, and I'm not helping you if every time you try to rise up, I use your past to pull you back down. Listen, you messed up back yonder. Get over it. You failed back yonder. Get past it. You made a fool of yourself back yonder. You didn't do a permanent job. Come on up here. You missed an opportunity back yonder. Today is a new day. New mercies, new grace, new opportunities, new favors. Amen. Amen. Dr. Rogers said one time, he said, God is much more interested in your future than he is your past. God's much more interested in where you're going than where you're coming from. A champion will not be hindered by the past. In fact, Paul said, I forget him. Here's the last one. It's found in verse 14. A champion will always be consistently striving for the goal. Always consistently striving for the goal. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As I watched that football game this afternoon, I noticed, and all football lovers know this, that the real object of the game is getting the ball over the goal. I mean, you can look pretty. You can make first downs. You can do all of the other stuff. But in order to win, you need to focus on getting the ball over the goal. Now, the interesting thing is that when you're on offense, your job is to try to get the ball over the goal. The defense's job is to offer to you opposition to keep you from reaching the goal. The Apostle Paul said, look, he said, there's some opposition in front of me. The devil, the world, and the flesh is doing all that he can to stop me. He said, but I am determined. I am committed. I have one purpose, and that is to reach the goal. That's to reach the goal. A champion. A champion will constantly and consistently strive for the goal. Seattle, I'm finished. Seattle would make a first down, and the players would go, and the coach would say, and they make another first down, and the players would go, and the coach would go, and the crowd would say, ah. But finally, Seattle got that ball over the goal. And the players went. And the coach went. And the crowd went, hard, hard. We can be happy with the first downs. But we can't be satisfied with the first downs. It's a touchdown, it's what we want. And I'm telling you tonight that a champion has a certain kind of attitude, a tenacious, a fight you back, better get out of my way attitude. And that's the kind of attitude you're going to have in 2015. If we're going to accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish, become all that God wants us to become, I'm telling you, we can no longer settle with just being on the team. We need to want to be the best we can.